This is an abbreviated broadcast for Sunday, December the 4th, the second Sunday in Advent. It will be somewhat unique in that the beginning of the service will be the lighting of the Advent candle on the Advent wreath, followed by an opening hymn, the scriptures, the sermon by Pastor Carpenter, the prayers, the benediction, and a closing hymn.
The Advent wreath includes many symbols to help us think about Christ and his gifts. The wreath itself is in the shape of a circle. A circle has no beginning and no end. This reminds us that there is no beginning and no end to God, and that God's love is forever. The light from the candles will grow stronger each Sunday in Advent. The candle's light reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. Last Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. Today, we will light the candles of hope and the candles of love, and we will do that now. Why not?
The second candle of Advent is the candle of love. God's love is a perfect love. It holds nothing back. God, in love, gives us everything we need to live.
This is an abbreviated broadcast for Sunday, December the 4th, the second Sunday in Advent. It will be somewhat unique in that the beginning of the service will be the lighting of the Advent candle on the Advent wreath, followed by an opening hymn, the scriptures, the sermon by Pastor Carpenter, the prayers, the benediction, and a closing hymn. The service begins with the lighting of the second Advent candle, the one called love.
In the Bible, it's written, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus shows us God's perfect love. This is what love is like. Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There's nothing that love cannot face. There's no limit to this love, to its hope, to its endurance. Let's pray.
We thank you, Lord, for the love you give us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true, and for Christ to come again, that you would remain
next comes the opening hymn for the worship service. Scriptures this morning come from Isaiah, Psalms, Romans, and Matthew.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with iniquity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for all the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting peace shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The psalmody for today is Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and peace abound till the moon be no more. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Romans, the 15th chapter. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around the Jordan were going out to him,
They were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord.
The worship service continues with a message from Pastor Carpenter.
"And I've tried. We'll see how this turns out. One point to make, so since it's going to be brief, we'll just say the point up front. We'll repeat it a few times as we go. The point's this. Put it on the screens. The prophets lived lives close to God. They pointed people to God. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. He lived a life close to God. And he pointed people to God in Christ Jesus. In this season of Advent, a season when we are preparing for the coming of our Lord, we are reminded to join them, the prophets of God, that we, each one of us, would strive to live a life that is close to God, and that we would do everything in our power to point people to God in Christ Jesus. There's a disclaimer about this sermon. I am aware that in the gospel lesson today, there's a word about the law. There's a word about judgment, and hell is mentioned. The unquenchable fires of hell, all mentioned in this gospel lesson. To be sure, God's kingdom's reign and rule in its perfection will be uncompromising. I'll say that again. God's reign and rule, because his kingdom and his established reign and rule is perfect. He is not able to compromise it. That would take what is perfect and compromise it, corrupt it. Similarly, his word and his law is pure and will not be corrupted or compromised in order to please an unwise or an unhealthy appetite of the child, you and I. He can't do that. His love is perfect and it is pure, and he will not corrupt what is perfect and pure just to appease us who are not. His word and law stand with perfect love and perfect wisdom, and it will be unmoving. Judgment, it's a future reality. Hell, it's not a concern, actually, for those who love and abide in the Son of God. You can spend a lot of time wasted wondering about the torments of hell. Jesus didn't come to have us carry that. He came to move us away from that. So for us who believe and trust and follow the ways of Jesus, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about the unquenchable fires of hell. There is a motivational phrase that comes to mind, the carrot and the stick, right? A motivation to do good, what you're asked, or the motivation to avoid evil or the punishment, the carrot and the stick. When one is focusing on God's reign and rule and love, when one is striving to follow the way of Christ, the Son, when one is abiding in the Holy Spirit, there's little concern for the stick, the punishment. The focus of today's gospel lesson is to join God's prophets, that we would live a life close to our Lord, and that we would serve our Lord by pointing everybody that we can get their attention from, point them to Jesus and following Jesus as well. The history I'm about to share is a treasure to me. It really is a treasure. In a moment, you'll understand why. It's given this morning with the hope that somehow, as I share this treasure, that you'll have insight into the gospel lesson and insight into the days that will meet us in our futures. About this time of year, for many of my younger years, it was the most anticipated time of my year. Shortly after Thanksgiving, grandparents from the faraway Northland, they would load up their RVs, and they would begin traveling toward the south. They were snowbirds. That shows that they're intelligent. They didn't need to do that anymore. They could avoid the brutality of winter in those Northlands. No matter where we were, no matter where we were in the south part of the country, southwest, they would find us. No matter how far away we were, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 miles, it didn't matter. They would come to us. And no matter the size or the kind or the unattractiveness of the town, it didn't matter. They came to be with us. Back in the day, there were no cell phones. Further back in the day, grandparents like mine didn't even use landline phones very much, and specifically very few times and very brief if they ever made long distance calls, because long distance calls cost money and spending money was a luxury. So they just didn't talk on the phone much, seldom ever on long distance. So that means, translated to the modern world that doesn't have a clue about that stuff, we never knew where they were. We didn't have the app, Find My Phone, and you can find, it didn't exist. We never knew when they would arrive exactly. But we had confidence that they would come. We had confidence that they loved us so much that they would find us and they would come to us. Starting the week after Thanksgiving, my sister and I would intentionally pack our backpacks in the morning as we would walk to school. We'd pack them as light as possible because we knew that heavy backpacks hindered our run home. And the run from school to house, depending on where we lived in some of these towns, could be just a half mile to like 2 or 3 miles, right? So we packed them light. We'd run. And actually, it's kind of cool to think about those days because we walked and ran all the time. Running just came easy to us. I mean, we would really run, not walk fast, not jog. We would run, little backpacks and all, run. And we'd take the shortest lines between the house and the school. We would cut through yards. We'd cut across large sections of the desert southwest at that point, plots of land that were not developed. And we'd make that last turn around that last house that was impeding our view of our home, looking down the block towards that house, hoping, wondering if that would be the day that we would see their RVs parked in front of the house. Now, they must have been looking out the RV the day that they came, about the time that we would be getting out of school, because moments after we made that final turn and were running towards the house, they would come out of the RV, and they would start walking towards us. And at this point, they're older. They don't run, but they could walk fast, and that's they did. And as they walked fast, they had their arms out something like this, right? Like gesturing a hug, like, come over here. We are here. This is what's awaiting. We've been waiting for this for a whole year. Come on. Out of breath, probably nearly knocking them over, we came together with a warm, loving, cherishing embrace that only grandparents that love like that can give. We were met. Now that I think about it, for a grade school child, middle school child, even a high school child, because I walked to high school, that activity and time was as close to a heavenly moment as was possible. Now, I share that with you now because when I imagine Jesus coming, when he comes again and we're coming to him, there's something in that memory that informs my vision of that day. School was behind us. The expectations, the bullies, the mean kids, the competitions, the schoolwork, the drama, the injuries, all that stuff, that was behind us. It was left behind. And in the presence of people who loved us, stories of our lives were listened to like what we were saying as children mattered. They listened to us like what we said was important. How often does that not happen in the life of a child? The adults are too busy. And what the child says is obviously not very important. So they just brush past it and they move on. Not in this case. We were listened to like we mattered. Stories about us when we were little, they would tell us those stories. How fun was it to hear about that? Stories about our parents were shared. Stories about our grandparents, right? When they were younger, and about their parents and their grandparents and what their life was like were shared. And oh, this is a great part. While all that's going on, there would be like nice beverages and great treats, and sometimes the sweets and the chocolates would be out, and it was just perfect. We were being nurtured and loved, and we were being empowered to move in that time to whatever future was going to lie before us as kids, as grown-ups. So now when I read the words, prepare the way of the Lord, make the path straight, running home to them every day, it was not in fear-induced or greed-motivated have to. Running home to them every day was a love-inspired want to. Being reunited with those who loved us, letting go and dropping off the backpacks and the world that they represented so that we could fully be enveloped by their embrace. Wanting to help them with whatever chores because it was just time with them. All of that, it was like heaven. For the last weeks, you know, we've been talking about this here at the congregation off and on for the last several years. But for the last couple weeks plus, when I've slowed down and risked pondering history, when I've risked to slow down and ponder what's going on right now, and I've slowed down enough to ponder the future, I admit that there was sadness. I've been kind of in a funk for a little while. My grandmother, her death anniversary was 10 days ago. She was the last of the grandparents. She got to go home. But now, all the subsequent generations, they're orphaned. Late yesterday afternoon, there was a completion of this morning, though, reading this gospel lesson, think about today. The sermon that I had thought we were going to share early in the morning was kind of just discarded, and another one was formed. There was a completion of things and a change and a fulfilling of sorts, and it's kind of hard to explain, but these are the pieces that came together to get us where we're at now. The components came together and formed these insights, right? The first part that we remember, that John's purpose as a prophet of God was to personally live close to his God, right? And then to get everybody's attention and get them prepared for God's coming so that they could go to him. That was John's prophet's purpose. That prophetic mission combined with his childhood memories of grandparents finding us in the desert Southwest and us running to them, and not a have to, but a want to. What would it be like if God's children just ran to him because they wanted to? That there's no place in the world, anything in creation, that would be more important, more beautiful than to sit in God's house and spend time with him. And the third part was a painting that I saw behind an altar in a Lutheran church. And that painting kind of completed this package. As I kind of started to say just a moment ago, in the last couple months, We've been considering this as a congregation, but I've been prayerfully pondering, God, what kind of building and property would you want to have us have so you could put us to work for your kingdom, right? Buildings and properties are resources that can help people present the worship, to worship and to have everybody included. It's a home you can invite guests to, right? What kind of a place do you have in mind for us? What kind of land do you want us to call our own so there we can shine like a bright light in the midst of the world saying, this is Jesus? I've been thinking about that. And while doing so, I've been looking at the inside of other congregations, the front spaces of their churches and the inside of their churches, saying, God, what would be the space for this family? Right? Every house is decorated for that family, and every house is unique. So what would be the uniqueness of this faith community on the inside? What would we present for the world when they came to see us? Let's go to this next picture. While doing so, this picture popped up. I couldn't find the exact one, but this is as close as I could find. Above and behind the altar of this church, above and behind the place where the sacrament of Holy Communion is prepared and from where it is presented, right? The Lord's Supper for his people, the great communion of God's people. Behind that was this picture of God, Jesus, with his arms out, receiving. Above and behind the altar where the pastor and the ministers serving that day offer prayers on behalf of the people, there is that image of Jesus receiving, arms reaching out, similar to my grandparents as we would run to them after school. The location of that painting is of special significance. That painting is behind the pulpit where the stories and the lessons of God are shared. It's behind the podium where the older stories of God and his word and his people are read. It's behind the baptism font, that picture of Jesus receiving. It is in front of the people, and it's opposite of the entrance to the world. Consistent with the prophet's message, literally, just to see that painting in the altar space behind the cross, above the cross, to see that painting, you must put your back to the world and your face towards God. And that image of Jesus, Son of God, come to us with us, hugging, loving, healing, comforting, cherishing, with our back to the world and our face to the holy space, that is what we see. In this season, the season of Lent, John's reason and purpose as a prophet of God is remembered and it's celebrated. John shouted, turn your backs to that stuff. Turn your face and your eyes to your God. Get rid of the stuff that would slow you down so that you could run. And run the straightest line, the fastest line to him. And when the last obstacle is out of your way, there you see him. Look carefully. He's come. He's come for you. For you. He's moved out of heaven to come here, towards you at great distance with arms outstretched. Yes, more beautiful than an image of a grandparent who has traveled across the country to find family and then approaching the children after they make that turn and run home with an embrace. More beautiful than that, John the Baptist tells us about the Son of God come to us. The Son of God who's coming across time and eternity, entering our world, finding us wherever we might be, reaching out with welcoming posture, cherishing his children, embracing them with a love that is too deep for words. in this season of Advent, our lives. Let's do this next slide. We are to take up the prophet's reason and purpose. That's that first one. Let's say that together. We too are to take up the prophet's reason and purpose. We'll pause. That's our mission in life. That's it. The next one, we are to point everyone we know to God. Let's say that. We are to point everyone we know toward God. We are to help them get as close as they can so that they can hear the story of God, stories of their ancestors, and figure out who they are in relationship to this world that can be so confusing. We ground them in the histories of their of this truth. Let's say that one together. We are to help them get close so that they can hear the stories of God and their ancestors. We are to point them toward God's embrace and God's place so they can participate in a holy meal with God and with the saints in light. Friends, we turn our back to sinful ways in the season of Advent. We want to. We let go of the sinful baggage that will slow our approach. We consider what that might be on days like today. What are the sinful things that occupy my eyes and my ears and my life, the things that are empty, that at the end of my life I will say is vain, so that I can take up the things that have eternal value? We let go of those things. We lighten our packs so we can run. And then today we are called to run towards God. Straight away, run. A heavenly embrace awaits us. God, help us be that church. Amen.
Heavenly Father, if it gives you glory, receive our prayers for those we know and love who are in need of your strength, comfort, and healing. We pray especially for those we name in our hearts now.
It's all good. Lord, in your mercy. Yes. And Heavenly Father, as this congregation and congregations around the world consider your will for their lives and your plans for their lives, Lord, I ask that you would bless all congregations and all leaders of congregations, that they would rightfully discern your will for them, that you would give them wisdom and courage to pursue your holy will and the strength and the success to do so. Lord, especially for this congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Lord, did you bless each and every one of us that makes up this body, this worshiping community, Lord, that we would serve you, we would seek to know your way that you want us to serve, Lord, that we would have courage and wisdom to follow your will, your plan, and your path for us. Lord, that we would fully trust you, not foolishly, but fully trust you, and that we'd follow where you lead. Lord, this is your project, this is your church, and we need you to be the Lord of it. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, Lord, we commend ourselves, and we commend all for whom we've prayed. Lord, we will trust in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our closing hymn is, "Though Known We Are Christians by Our Love."
This concludes the service for December 4th. We're happy that you could be with us and hope next week you can be with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Have a great day.